A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yevamos Daf Tes, Yevamos 9a, pagination, page 17. Counting up from the bottom of the page, about 13 lines. At the end of a line, Omale Levi Lerebi. Levi said the following to Rebbe. My Irya Detoni Tesvov, why in the Mishnah did you only list 15 cases of arayas, forbidden relationships, that the brother who is now deceased could have been married to one of these women, and when that woman is in potential for yibum, she is prohibited to the living brother? We only came up with 15 such cases. For example, the living brother is married to a woman, and the deceased brother was married to her sister. So now that she is in a situation of yibum, the living brother can't do anything with her because it's the sister of his wife. Likewise, we gave an example. One of the 15 is Bito, the living brother's daughter. If the deceased brother married the daughter of the living brother, he married his niece, which he's allowed to do, now that he's dead, that woman is in a situation of yibum that cannot happen because it's with her father. We only came up with 15 such cases. Asked Levi, Lisni Tezayin, why didn't you list 16? Realize that Rebbe is Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the one who was the editor of the Mishnayis. So this question has high stakes. Levi is saying, I see that you've gone through all of Shas and you only come up with 15 cases, and I'm suggesting that there is a 16th case. Note, further, that Levi doesn't bother explaining what the 16th case is. These are two very high-level scholarly people who understand intuitively what the question that's being presented is. And we'll see in a moment, the question was the case of Imo Anusas Oviv. If the woman in question that's in the situation of Yibum is the living brother's mother, but through an assault, a rape of his father, not through a conventional marriage. And as we will see in a moment, such a woman, mother of the living brother, was, according to one opinion, allowed to marry the person we're calling the deceased brother. The reason during his lifetime he was allowed to marry her, according to one opinion, is because it's not his father's wife. It's his father's anusa, a woman that was with her, with him, a woman that was with him and produced a child, but they're not husband and wife. And therefore, according to one opinion, the deceased brother was allowed to marry that woman, but she is the mother of the living brother, and certainly would not be able to have the situation of Yibum apply to her. This was the question of Levi when he said, Lisni Tezayin, why don't you list 16 cases? Listen to Rebbe's response. Omale, Rebbe said to him, Kimidumali, it appears to me, She'ein lo Moach b'kodkodo. It appears to me that to that man, he doesn't have a brain in his skull. And we will need to come back to this why did Rebbe take such a harsh wording and use it in this case? We know, for example, that Rebbe was known as an Anav, a very humble person. He wasn't a person prone to anger. He was a great person. The Gemara at the end of Sota tells us, Mishemes Rebbe Botla Anava. When Rebbe passed away, so true humility was lost from the world. He wouldn't have used such an expression, and the Gemara, we should be in wonderment why the Gemara would quote such an expression of harshness, unless we can explain what exactly is going on over here. But in any case, that's Rebbe's response. Your suggestion to list 16 is ludicrous. My daitech, what are you thinking about? Imo, anusas aviv, that the woman in question could have been the mother of the living brother, the anusa of his father, and that's the woman that was married to the deceased brother. Imo anusas aviv pelukta. That case, whether the deceased brother would have been permitted to marry that lady, that's a machlokas. De Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanon hi. It's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, because Rabbi Yehuda holds it's totally forbidden, and it's only the Rabbanon who say that he would be allowed to marry such a lady. Ubeplukta lo kamayri. And we did not want to introduce cases that are a disagreement. So since, according to the Rabbanon, there's no way that the deceased brother could ever have had legitimate marriage with that woman, so we didn't mention it in our Mishnah, even though according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would theoretically be another intriguing case and account for 16. But it's a machlokes, so we didn't list it. There's a famous tshuva from the Chavos Yair that was essentially made famous by the Chafetz Chaim by including it in his Sefer Chafetz Chaim so that it was available to every Jew, even if one is not so scholarly. The Chavos Yair asks in Tshuva Kufnun Beis, why would Rebbe talk like this? It seems to me you don't have a brain in your skull. Why so harsh against Levi? And his answer is that at times a Rebbe is supposed to speak harshly, lizarzum, to encourage the students to greater heights in their learning, lahashkiach minatos, to protect them from error. To the point that in Shulchan Aruch it's mentioned a wording of lichos, to actually appear angry to the students, to speak harshly if he feels that they're being lazy in their learning. And that's how the Chavos Yair understands this expression of Rebbe speaking to Levi, who was a Talmud Chacham of his generation, but essentially a student of his. And he spoke harshly because he felt this was way off base. The question really that I think needs to be explored is, why is this so way off base? There are plenty of times that Talmidei Chachamim argued and they didn't use such an expression and they didn't speak so harshly. What was unique over here? And I believe that what's so unique over here is that it goes to the very essence of Rebbe's life's mission, which was to simplify Torah to the point that it can be taught in the form of a Mishnah codified in its beauty. And certainly, Rebbe's accomplishment left room for the Talmud to come and start elaborating and elaborating and elaborating. But Rebbe's life's mission was to simplify, to be really, really clear about a topic and therefore be able to codify it with clarity. And therefore, when Rebbe came along on a topic and managed to codify it to 15 cases of this enormously sophisticated topic called Yevamos, and he codified it to 15. He got it down. And you could really work this through with absolute clarity. And Levi comes along and says, you know, I think maybe you can confuse it a little bit by bringing in the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon and coming up with a 16th case. Rebbe saw that as being so way off base, so out of touch with the accomplishment called Mishnah that codified it as 15 legitimate, all-encompassing, all-agreed-upon cases, that he saw Levi as really out of touch. And his expression, because he presumably felt Levi would possibly lead people astray from the accomplishment called Mishnah of total clarity and keep going, trying to get it more scholarly, he says, you're going to lead people off from the scholarship that we finally accomplished. And therefore, he uses this harsh expression, you're not using your brain. If you'd use your brain, you would realize what we just accomplished. The Mishnah says 15 because of those are universally held. We find such harshness, for example, Rabbi Gamliel against Rabbi Yehoshua. Also, he felt that central authority was so important, so Rabbi Gamliel took a harsh stance against Rabbi Yehoshua. We find in a number of cases, to the point that the Gemara actually feels that he went too far and they removed Rabbi Gamliel from his position. But the essence of this concept that a leader sometimes has to come down harshly and criticize is something that we do find for the benefit of Torah clarity and authenticity. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.